show you today. Okay. And this is a little illustration about how we can still be in the world, but be separate from it. There are two things in this bottle. Can you guess what they are? Go ahead. Close. Right. Colored water and oil, that's right. When we look at this bottle with the oil and water in it, the first thing that we notice is that they remain separate from one another. Now let's see what happens when we shake the bottle. Have the oil and water really become one? Do you think they have? No? All right, let's let the bottle stand still for a while and see if it separates. This bottle is a good picture of what Jesus wants us to be like in this world that we live in. Before he was crucified, he prayed for his disciples. He prayed that as they lived in the world, they would not become part of the world. He wanted them to add their gifts that he gave to them, just as the water added some color to the oil. But he did not want them to become stained by the world. We must live in this world, but Jesus has called us to be separate. Just as the colored water remains separate from the oil, Jesus wants us to be separate from the world.
Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will."
Look, the water and the oil are separate again.
Yes, that shows us that even when they were all mixed together, they never really were one. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, help us to live in this world as children of God and to remain faithful to your call and to be separate from this world. We are so thankful for the gifts you have given each one of us and ask that you show us how to use them for your good. Amen. Is there junior church today? Yes? Okay. Thank you, Anthony.
Carl Sandburg once quoted that when a nation goes down or a society perishes, one condition can always be found. They forgot where they came from, and they lost sight of what had brought them along. Does this sound familiar? See, this country that was founded as one nation under God is little by little taking God out of the equation. It started by a separation of church and state. Then God was taken out of the public schools. And it's growing to a point that we as Christians are being restricted from even talking about God. It seems that our nation is losing sight of what it was founded upon. We're losing sight of God. But this problem doesn't start with the nation. It starts with us as individuals. See, our busy lives have us so distracted, it has become a chore to find time to spend with God. As I was writing this sermon, I took the time to look at an average day of my life. And I looked at how much time I spend with God. I looked at how much time I spent with God and how much time I was spending taking care of myself and the things that I needed to do. To get versus time that I was spending with God. I won't give you the figures that I came up with, because to be quite honest, I was a little bit ashamed at how unbalanced it was. See, God doesn't need us to give of our time for his good. It's for our good. He cares for us, and if we don't spend time with him, we will lose sight. See, spending quiet time needs to be put at the top of our to-do list, not at the bottom. I don't know about you, but doesn't it seem that quiet time is a thing that is coming hard to come by? I mean, it seems that no matter what time we have to do, there is something there to fill it. TV, computer, video games, and if there is any time left, everybody just picks up the cell phone. See, I mean, what happened to thinking things over instead of just Googling it? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of these things. They've brought us a long way, and there's great ministry and things, you know, in technology. But what I am saying is there is something wrong when we allow these things to fill up every minute of our time, and there's nothing left for God. We will be the ones that suffer for it. Even Jesus had to take time away to a quiet place to spend with God. Mark 1:35 says, "And early in the morning, while it was dark, he arose and went out and departed to a solitary place and was praying there." And Luke 5:16 says, "But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place to pray." Many times it was recorded in the Bible that Jesus went off to be alone. See, Jesus understood the importance of taking that quiet time. He made it a point to drop everything he was doing and just pray to God. If Jesus needed to do this often, how much more should we? That is what kept Jesus in perfect tune with God. So no matter what Jesus faced, who came against him, even after being beaten to near death, hung to a cross, was an indescribable agony, he still didn't miss the chance to save that lost soul that hung there next to him. I mean, could you imagine being in that much pain, hanging there near death, and still be able to reach out to somebody next to you like that? Unbelievable. Jesus could because he was in tune with his Father, and he never lost sight. What do we have our sight set on? It's easy for us to lose sight when the world around us is moving faster and faster. When the world tells us that we need to set our sight on personal gain and success to be happy. It's difficult for us to remember to take that time out for God when we get into that Monday through Friday routine. And we quickly lose sight. I admit I struggle with this. I allow a busy schedule to get in the way of my quiet time with God. And I suffer for it. Not only do my burdens become heavier, but even more importantly, I begin to lose sight of what's happening around me and begin to miss the chance to be a witness to someone, even when I see it right there in front of me. A few months ago, a good friend of mine was going through a hard time. He had been struggling with addiction, depression. And we always kind of kept contact. We text and phone calls here now and again, and usually by text message. And one day he was in touch with me more than usual. He was texting me, like, seemed like every half hour. But I was busy. I was extra busy that day. I returned a few messages. I, you know, got back to him, but most of them I didn't take time to respond to. After all, I was busy. Later that evening, that friend of mine attempted suicide. Thank God he didn't go through it. Looking back, I should have easily realized what was going on. But I was too busy to notice. See, when we keep in check with God, God keeps us in check with those around us. Being a good witness and servant of God has to start with us spending time with God. I mean, you wouldn't go to work every day and never spend time with your boss or your supervisor about what you're supposed to be doing. It wouldn't be long before you wouldn't have a clue what's going on. It's the same when we are doing God's work. We need to meet with the boss, or it won't be long before we are lost. So how do we keep our busy lives in balance and not lose sight? Well, I'll be the first to tell you, I sure haven't perfected it, but Jesus did. And if we go to him in quiet prayer, we won't lose sight. He's always there waiting for us to come spend time with him and show us what we need to do on a daily basis in order to stay in tune with his good and perfect will for us. This past fall, Laura and I had the awesome opportunity to participate in the Walk to Emmaus. For those that don't know, the Walk to Emmaus is sort of like a Christian retreat. It's just an incredible, uplifting spiritual experience. So after I came home that weekend, I was on fire. I was like, I was ready to take on the world, you know. I was probably annoying everybody around me a little bit, but whatever. But the thing is, as the days wore on, and the time I was spending with God seemed to lessen a little more every day, and I got busy, I allowed that joy in me to be suppressed. And now trials will come our way, and they're coming no matter what. Trouble will always be there, but so will God. And we don't have to lose sight of our joy in the midst of trials, not if we keep our sight on God. There's a book in the Bible that is a perfect example of joy in trials. The book of Job is about a man who had everything. Job was a righteous man. He had a big family, was wealthy. The Bible says that he was the greatest man among all people. I mean, this guy had everything going on. But one day, God decided to allow Satan to test Job. In the first chapter of Job, it tells us, one day the angels came to present themselves with the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is a blameless and upright man, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flock and herds spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to his face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So Satan went. He went out and struck Job. He took his family, his wealth, his friends turned against him, and eventually took his health. Even his wife told him, curse God and die. But through all of this, Job never lost sight of God. And God was with him through it all. So even though I'm quite sure Job wasn't singing and dancing and life of the party type thing, but Job was able to keep joy in the promise that God would see him through. And we may not face trials to the extent that Job faced, but we will have trials. And this is a perfect example of how we can face trials. And we can defeat Satan. Don't lose sight of God. Let us pray. Father God, we pray that as we leave here today and we get back to the grind, things aren't going our way, that we can remember to keep our eyes on you. And that we can remember to take that quiet time to be with you. And we thank you for always seeing us through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The benediction for today is taken from John, chapter 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world."